Harrell needs to move this ball and get it off his foot and get back.
Sean Lawson, right side Mormon. Once again, Mormon sends it towards the back post, looking for Sean Lawson. Mickey Goodman settles it down.
Mundy with the right foot. It's in the back of the net. Tyrone Mundy, of course. Yes. What a goal from Tyrone Mundy. He's done it again. Mighty Mouse.
This is WNGS Radio, and I am your host, Dion DeGennaro. Hope you guys liked that. It was, I wanted to start this first episode off on the right foot. So what that was a couple sound bites from this past season's playoff victory against Ann Arbor. Tyrone Mundy scored a beautiful volley goal against Ann Arbor, I believe in the 93rd minute with his right foot. So yeah, I thought it was a good way to start episode one and begin this podcast in the best way possible. So what I have for you guys today is actually a recording that we've already put out. Some of you guys may have already heard it. Doesn't matter. It's a great recording, and I think it's the perfect way to kind of start off this podcast. So what it is, it actually is from March 11th, 2015, so it does actually predate our move to Keyworth, and it predates even the investment campaign, the community investment campaign. It is from a panel about Detroit City FC. And it was actually at the University of Michigan School of Kinesiology. And what it is Ken Butcher, one of the Northern Guard co-founders, kind of telling his soccer story from when he first started getting into it, when he was growing up as a kid, and how he ended up hearing about Detroit City FC. And he gets into how he and his brother Gene began to form the supporters group as we know it today. And I think it even goes into kind of the first game and what that was like to him. So I think it's a good introduction. And even if you've already heard it, I think it's a good place to start and listen to it again before we get into doing kind of a more one-on-one interview with Ken and his brother. But before I play that for you guys, I just want to go over a couple things, couple little notes here. So we are on iTunes, which is awesome. Only took me a little bit of time to figure out how to get that working. And I just got the podcast hosted on Stitcher, which was another heavily requested one. And actually, our podcast host is a really cool and easy-to-use host called Simplecast, and it was actually recommended to me from some guys who started a Tampa Bay Rowdies podcast, and that's called the Unused Substitute Podcast. So we've got a really cool website, and it's super easy to listen to. They've got a great mobile player. It works even on Twitter and on mobile browsers, so there's no excuse for you guys to not be able to listen to these podcasts. I do have to apologize, though. I did initially start with a different host, so if you subscribed via an RSS feed, there is going to be a new feed, but I'm sure you will have already seen it if you see our social media posts. So make sure you update that feed link, and so that way you're constantly reminded and informed of new content. And the last thing I'd like to get to before we start the recording of Ken telling the Northern Guard origin story is, after it plays, I will have a little bit of info at the end of this episode about what the upcoming episodes are going to be. So definitely listen to the whole thing, and at the end of the episode, I will fill you guys in.
Hi, everybody. As I said, my name is Ken Butcher. I am the co-founder and I guess vice president of the Northern Guard. I wanted to be Secretary of State, but nobody else wanted vice president, so I took it. The group started with my brother and I. My brother is almost exactly 3 years older than me. The two of us grew up, you can see I'm a pretty large man. Our dad was a much bigger guy, and when he grew up in the 50s and the mid-50s, he played football because that's what you do when you're a big macho guy. But back in those days, the equipment being what it was like the single bar, and he was a lineman, so everybody gouged eyes in those days. So my dad ended up with like a lot of eye injuries, and I think from that stemmed, I'm never going to let my sons play football. Never. And so I had a fortunate, in the 80s growing up, with very sparse soccer teams anywhere in Michigan, to grow up loving the sport of soccer, playing the sport of soccer. Also, I have Irish grandparents on both sides that are both boaters, so it was part of their culture growing up, so it was like, all right, yeah, let's get down playing soccer, because that's what we grew up playing. So, played in really bad fields, mostly, you know, football fields and stuff like that. But didn't grow up with a team. There was a team in the late 70s, I think it went to Funk in 81, that played in Pontiac, where we grew up, that played in the Soberdome, which feel free to drive by that disaster. Played in the Soberdome. I think it lasted 3 years. Went out of business. And then the next kind of pro soccer that came around that we could watch and be entertained by was indoor, which if any of you watch indoor and outdoor, it might as well be a different sport. I mean, honestly, you can't use your hands. That's about where the similarities start at. It's a different sport. I never liked playing it. Too big to move for that little tiny area. And if you give me a board to hit somebody into, I'm going to take that chance. So there, I ended up a lot of times in a little tiny box, you know, getting carded and stuff like that. So, you know, again, grew up with no real pro team, soccer team to really attach ourselves to. So we ended up going to a lot of college games. Because, like I said, I grew up in Pontiac. We went to a lot of Oakland University games. Actually went to a lot of the U of M games before it was a varsity sport. You know, saw a lot of, you know, a lot of guys busting their tail. You know, it didn't matter if it was a club sport to them. Trust me, those guys played their tails off, scholarship or not. And so, you know, honestly, we followed a lot of clubs, and you know, when Sean and those guys started DCFL, obviously it parked our attention. We followed it online, like, you know, we had secretly the groups that the teams that we followed because we liked their names or their flags or, you know, just they're from a crappy part of Detroit. And it's like, all right, go Cass Corridor. But, you know, we kept a close eye on it. And then, you know, one day I got an email from my brother and said, you know, like, have you seen this? And it was, I think the first press release saying, oh, we're going to have a team and it's going to be MPSL. And so, you know, both of us are like, okay, we're going to Google MPSL. Then we're going to try to see if anybody has already started anything. Because, you know, we had conversations over beers and, you know, and things like that. If anything comes to Detroit, if any soccer comes to Detroit, we're behind it 100%. You know, pass or fail, cheesy or not, we're going at it full bore. So, you know, we, like Alex said, we communicated with the team a little bit. You know, it was just the two of us at the time. And I kind of reached out and said, you know, who's gonna do this, you know? And, you know, his response was, like you said, it's like, you want to do it, do it. Like, all right, you didn't green light me. I'm gonna do it the way I want to do it. So, as most of you know, our name is the Northern Guard. It basically stems from, obviously, we're from the northern part of the beautiful U.S. of A. But it's also pseudo because, you know, we don't live in the city. You know, we grew up in Pontiac, so, which is as close to an environment identical as Detroit as you, there can be. But, you know, we grew up in the same environment. But, you know, everybody in within a 45-minute drive is all, everybody's endeared to Detroit. So, you know, once we knew that the team was going to be going, we were like, okay, well, name time, you know, what are we going to be? So Northern came from, you know, we're going to be coming down from the north. Guard is, my brother and I have both played drums, and pipes and drums, marching bands, essentially. So, you know, the guys that wear the kilts and got the drums and the bagpipes, we both drummed in those by accident, mainly because the guys that we were sitting next to at a bar got too drunk to drum, told us to hold their drum, and then somebody else said, go drum. So we went and drummed. But a lot of the drumming corps have guard in their name, so we instituted the pipe and drum into the guard in the name, and then supporters is pretty, pretty easy to figure out. But you know, we put up a Facebook page. We didn't have Twitter. We put up a Facebook page, invited the guys that we had played with our whole life, you know, guys that we knew were passionate about the game, and said, you know, this is what we're doing. This is where we'll be. Bring as many people as you can, and, you know, got a lukewarm response from it, and you know, from there on, we got our third what we call founder. His name is Drew. Drew is a graphic artist by trade, and has a very similar story to myself and my brother in the fact that he grew up playing a sport that wasn't popular. He always tells stories about how he got kicked out of a game in sixth grade because he kept making chants about the kid with goofy ears on the other team. They told him he couldn't do it, so they kicked him out. But, you know, in our hearts, it was always a game that we loved, and we just had no outlet for it. So Drew just got to work overnight, pretty much, making what we call PSAs, you know, the public service announcements. Basically, just trashing other teams. We didn't even have a team yet. You know, I think they had done a tryout or two by the time Drew came along. But literally, it was just like, all right, Cleveland, you suck because of this. Buffalo, you suck because you have a huge state prison in your city. You know, Erie, their name is the Erie Admirable. So, you know, there was a really quick correlation to you're a bunch of seamen, you know, for that one. You know, so we just attacked unapologetically on every level that we could. Bolster our team however we can, you know, try to get some fight out of some other people. You know, we'll apologize later, but, you know, we're going to go on the offensive first. It's a lot easier to dig yourself out of a hole when you're the one being the jerk than the other guy. So we went full bore at them, you know. I would say, you know, the first scrimmage that we went to before the roster was finalized, we bought our drum. My brother and I taught ourselves through YouTube videos and some other things how to silk screen. So we made some flags that said, you know, Detroit City FC, and then we put Hope on the bottom, and then the team's crest. And I walked to the field, I had 25 over my shoulder on PVC pipes that we made. My brother had a drum, Drew had some more flags, and then he had a couple of smoke bombs, I think an air horn, a whistle, for, I don't know why he had that. But you know, we marched there, and we wanted our team to know that we were there. So we drummed almost the whole time. We handed out sticks and flags to anybody that would take one. It's like, hey, how are you? Great. And you just keep putting it in their hand, and they're eventually just gonna go, okay. And you know, I'll hold this. And you're like, okay, give it back though. It's all we've got. And so, you know, and I brought a photography, a friend of mine is a photographer, to shoot it. I think we didn't communicate that with them, but we knew how strong visuals were too. Drew had already pelted all the other teams, you know, with the visuals. We were getting, you know, some steam and a lot of pushback from the other guys, which is great. It's like, oh yeah, you guys aren't dead. Like, okay, yeah, we're jerks, and we're going to attack you. But, you know, we knew that taking pictures of these guys, whether they made the team or not, was going to be powerful. So fast forward to the first game. We had our 25 flags, our drum. We bought a megaphone from Tractor Supply the night before. That didn't work, so we bought another one. And then a bunch of batteries. We meet at Harry's, which is a bar 3 blocks away from the stadium. I would say probably guys that were there that were Northern Guard or just there for the supporter lifestyle of the whole atmosphere was maybe 20, 25, maybe. And my brother and I, the day before, had bought way too many smoke bombs and a lot of marine flares. And we were the only two that knew we had them, because you don't want to tell these guys you have flares. You know, it's like, we'll apologize later. Again, it's kind of a motto. And, you know, I would say, you know, first goal went off. We lit everything we had in our bag, and we lit flares, and again, hey, can you take this for me? Everybody learned that day how horrible sulfur is for your lungs, and how hot flares are, you know, a lot of burns that day. And, you know, we unapologetically pushed what we thought was needed onto the whole stadium, you know. That game got over. You know, we went home and, you know, we recapped over a couple beers afterwards and said, it worked out, you know. Some people yelled at me for the smoke and were like, that girl's stupid anyway. You know, we marched out, we said thanks to those guys, and we didn't think we were ever going to be allowed back in again. You know, like, I'm serious. I thought, okay, we just got kicked out. But we got home, we started going on MLS.com and some of the other things to try to see if what we did as a supporter group went anywhere, if anybody saw it. And somehow, through channels that we don't know, the first picture of us with the flares and the smoke bombs became like the second most downloaded visual for MLS.com. Still don't know how, but we watched our Facebook likes, which they are what they are, but we watched them quadruple overnight, and then we started getting messages from, you know, MLS clubs, like, keep it up, guys, like, you know, good on you. You know, a lot of encouragement from people we didn't even know that have now become friends. But, you know, it was a whole lot of, wow, you guys really kicked that, you know, that game's ass, and then keep it up. So after a couple of emails, we were told we weren't to bring flares anymore. We decided just to go with the smoke and the drums and the loud voices. So, you know, our numbers doubled, just like the attendance probably doubled for the next game. And we became, you know, known a little bit as, you know, the rowdy group, you know. The first game we wore skull masks over our face because everybody that was firing back at us for giving them crap about, you know, Cleveland's river lit on fire in the 50s, they're like, well, you're in Detroit, you're a dead city anyway. So we're like, all right. So we made all of our visuals about skulls, and pretty much everything that we do is black, you know. So like, all right, you're gonna tell us we're dead. We're gonna wear, you know, skull masks all the time. Plus, it helps with the sulfur a lot. And, you know, so we just went with it. You know, like, and the same way the team built a brand, we built a brand as well. You know, so and as rowdy of the group as we are, and we really don't know how many people we actually have, because there is no dues. If you want to say you're a member of the Northern Guard, congratulations, you're a member of the Northern Guard. There's other soccer supporters groups out there where it's $25 a year. Thank you. AO. Which we don't get along with, by the way. American Outlaws is the national supporter group that would probably throw us off a bridge if they could pick me up. But, you know, we protect our brand a lot. You know, people come at us all the time. Most of the time it's, all right, touche, that was nice. Like, good for you. But somewhere inside of all that, there has been an amazing family atmosphere inside of this rowdy group. I would say there's 60 people in that group that I know their wives' names, their kids' names, what they do for a living, you know, just everything about them, you know. A lot of the wives have, there's like a NGS women's group. They go out and do stuff. I'm not sure what. But they go out and, you know, they hang out. It's kind of weird. But, you know, but coming from this, you know, nest, like, absolutely violent as much as we can, in your face, F you type attitude, is a close-knit community within itself. Now, and you know, there's a lot of things that we would do for each other, you know, but it's always day one, minute one, it's been about the team. Bolstering the team as much as we can. There's, you know, you are based on your success by building the club. So everybody has drugged everybody they know from work, school, past relatives, distant cousins to a game. You know, we have one guy that I think he set the record. He brought 46 new people to a city game in one season. Like, we bought all his drinks for him. Like, that's, I don't know 46 people. You know, I don't know how you did that, but I don't know how much dirt you have on these people, but he brought them all. And so it really, the culture is about making sure that the team is sustainable, that it has a solid future, and that everybody in NGS takes care of everybody else in NGS. You know, the Northern Guard is, you know, I'll be the first person to probably say 6 F-bombs in a row, and then I'll turn to a kid next to me like, sorry, buddy. You know, it's usually my nephew, so it's all right, but it's like, you know, like you're in here, like, you know what you're getting. But, you know, one of the teams, like, famously, like, this past week, a team that we play a lot, which is Erie, they notoriously have a very brash, very cocky, over-the-top, muscly keeper named Danny Mudd, and he wears a pink Puma jersey that's, like, 3 sizes too small. And we reached out to him and said, hey, man, what are we going to do to get you to never wear that pink jersey again? Like, name your price, because that thing's hideous and you look stupid in it. Because he's a ginger anyway, so just like the pink, he just looks ridiculous. So, you know, we asked him how much he wanted for it. He's like, you know what? You know, and I mercilessly drop insults at this guy. He said, you know what? You raise $500 for Wounded Warrior, I'll ship it to you. So in 16 hours, we raised $750. I never have to look at that thing again. He's mailing it to me right now. He just told me today. So we're not sure what we're going to do with it. We're probably all going to try to squeeze it onto our bodies and take pictures, which is going to be great for everybody. But, you know, the thing about NGS is just, it's about the club. Find out what your personality is early on. Latch on to what it is. And don't apologize for it, really is what it comes down to. And you know, we have a good relationship with the owners. We get together before the season once a year and talk about some things that are coming down the pipeline. You know, they tell us, here, you know, things here and there, you know, this got a little out of control, see if you can police that a little bit. And we do what we care. We did put out a scarf that said, fuck Ohio.
That's popular here.
It is very popular. It is our best-selling scarf ever. And we sell a lot to Ohio. And, you know, to be honest with you, like, the MLS All-Star game this past year, one of our guys got one of them in. And during one, like, before they cut the commercial, he's holding up a scarf and says, fuck Ohio. Like, and I wasn't watching the game. I don't really like the MLS product. I wasn't watching the game. But I'm sitting there watching our big cartel site, and it was just order, 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 order. And, like, the next morning, I'm like, oh, I don't know what happened. Maybe someone had a bar, like, went at the bar or something. Woke up the next day, we sold, like, 150 of them. And on Twitter, it's just a picture of this one dude, you know, holding up. And I went to Reddit, and it was the number one thing on Reddit, and still is, for the MLS, ever. I was like, okay, well, somehow our little scarf did that. So, but we don't bring it into the Detroit City games. It's not allowed. So if you own one, don't bring it in. Appreciate it. But yeah, that's about us. That's how we started.
Welcome back to WNGS Radio. Hope you guys enjoyed Ken's origin story. I always have found it super, super interesting, and I really cannot wait to talk to him one-on-one about it, because there's a lot of really funny, cool little tidbits of information that haven't really been out publicly, but I know they're great, and I can't wait for him to be able to share that with you guys. So, what's coming up next? And it's going to be very topical, and I'm going to have a guest host, the first one, actually. And the guest is Andrew, the writer of the Boys in Rouge blog website. One of my favorite people who has kind of chronicled and documented city history. And if you have not checked out his site yet, make sure you do. It's www.boysinrouge.com. The stuff he puts out is super insightful, and it definitely comes from inside of him. He's very passionate about the team, and he's very passionate about soccer, and I think that his writing shows that. So definitely check out his website if you haven't already. He's one of my favorite city sports writers, and he's been doing it for a long time, almost since the beginning. So I'm going to have Andrew on, and we're going to be discussing NASLpocalypse. We're going to be talking about the injunction, and we're going to be talking about NISA, and we're going to talk about, you know, potential outcomes of that injunction and what effects it might have on the future of NISA and what that all means for our club, and the different possible outcomes for Detroit City FC depending on what happens on Halloween, October 31st. As of right now, that is the day of the final ruling on NASL's injunction, and if you don't know what any of that is, don't worry, we'll definitely go into it in that episode, and try to get you guys all informed and everyone on the same page. So we're actually hoping for a Halloween release on that, because that is decision day, and I'm not talking about stupid MLS playoffs. I'm talking about the future of lower division soccer in the United States. So definitely going to want to check that one out. It's going to be filled with tons of information. And if you aren't really caught up on it, it's going to be your future of Detroit City 101. It's going to be your starter course. So, you know, I'm hoping to get that out Tuesday, October 31st. Should be great. We're going to be recording the night before. And love talking DCFC with Andrew. He definitely knows what he's talking about and super passionate about it, so should be a really great episode. And that's about it for me. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast. Like I said, we are on iTunes now, which is great. We're on Stitcher, which is great. I'm working to get it in a couple more places, and if you could, if you want to help us out big time, make sure you leave a review. If you love it, give us that 5-star review. Definitely will help us get more views. And or I shouldn't say views. Is it? It technically would be listens. So more listens. So yeah, leave a review if you could, because that would be awesome. That's it for me. Have a great day, and fuck Ohio.